Right now, it is time for the Berkshire Edge on Air. Now, you can find the Berkshire Edge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Where? TheBerkshireEdge.com. I said TheBerkshireEdge.com. But right now, David and Marcy are going to join us on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. Here we are on the radio.
Yeah, good morning.
David, you got to sound a little more up on this.
Yeah, this is like the third week, I'll say the third consecutive show where you've sounded like you're not a morning guy.
Good morning.
No, we've had a little domestic.
We stay up late. And, so we're tired at this point of the day.
Also, we had run out of cat food.
No.
That's not good. I think that you will find if you survey your fellows that everyone had a domestic, this splat in the middle of attempting to do the day. There was some sort of domestic
See, David, it's a great thing about getting up at 3:30 in the morning.
No.
My animals get all the grumpiness.
Yeah.
I got down early and discovered that yet again the horoscopes were wrong. But just trying to get the brain to kick in. So anyways,
it's good to have you guys here, and let's talk about Great Barrington Town elections.
Well, not only Great Barrington, but all the elections in the...
This is town meeting season.
Town meeting and town election season.
So women are back.
Pardon?
Women are back.
Women are back, in a way. Great Barrington has two on the Board of Selectmen. And we have
a select board,
and we have another one. Lee Davis was elected to the select board. She's quite a remarkable person in her own right, she's a real community activist. She volunteers and she really put out herself to help the community. And she's been on the finance committee. And she's a young woman with three kids, and one of them is in college. So we have a picture of her on the front page, beaming with her two daughters.
Well, we also had in Egremont, Lucinda Vermeulen, who also had been on the planning board in Egremont, was elected to the select board by a landslide.
By a landslide, yes.
Something like 370-70, or something like that. There was kind of an upset in Sheffield, where a very long-term member of the community, and a very established person. Or whose family was very long term, was beaten by a relative newcomer who'd only been here for about 8 years.
I mean, that's barely a resident.
That barely scratches the surface, I was going to say.
Certainly not considered
that qualifies you as a weekender.
Right. And Lucinda, whose race I was watching, she is. She's the owner of Kenver, the sporting goods and clothing store in South Egremont, which was started by her husband, Ken Vermeulen. And she had a retail background, and when he died...
She also had a broadcasting background. Did you know that?
She had a broadcasting background also?
Yeah, absolutely. She was
I didn't know that,
but I know that
she was a buyer for a very big department store chain. No longer exists. Yeah. I think it was Carson Peary Scott. When she met Ken on a plane, and she came to Egremont. She married him and moved to Egremont, and she's been very active in Egremont. She's been a very active member of the planning board, and she was also challenged by another woman who comes from a farm family, so again, a family that's been here for a very long time, but Lucinda had far more experience and far more sophistication than her opponent had. So she won handily. I mean, it was really a landslide for her, because there was another election, a planning board election in Egremont, and that was a much closer race than Lucinda's. So So we have women, we have new relative newcomers.
And and shiver me timbers, sit me down, shut me up, lock the door, don't let me out. Two big things happened, which finally...
Oh, in the town meeting.
Yeah, we'll put an end to this.
Yes, we didn't talk to you last week.
No, the ban on single-use water was affirmed, and also...
Great Barrington has this ban on single-use plastic water bottles.
And now it's okay.
And for good reason, trying to take one small step to mitigate the flood of plastic that's of endangering our environment, and we banned it, which was there are a lot of people who felt that there were some people who felt that this was an intrusion, an inappropriate intrusion of government in banning these items. So they brought a petition to the town meeting, and it was again soundly defeated.
Very soundly.
Very soundly.
I mean, actually, silently, but soundly.
Well, it went to a vote by hand.
Yeah.
And it was overwhelming.
There were we had a
picture of the vote. I mean, it was a sea of yellow markers held high in the air to keep to turn this petition down that would have rescinded the ban.
And those in favor of rescinding, there were about eight.
Out of 400.
Yeah.
Now,
this is the second night of the town meeting.
It's great to see that the middle school is going to be named after W.E.B. Du Bois.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a binding. I mean, that's
no,
that's
that is a
recommendation.
It's a regional school, so district. But so there are two other towns, West Stockbridge and Stockbridge. However,
it's a big step.
But it's a big step to, I think, overcoming the resistance to honoring this remarkable philosopher and philosopher who was a native of Great Barrington, after all, and he was a founder of the. One of the founders of the NAACP. He was a brilliant writer, and he was the first African American to go to Harvard. he was just a remarkable individual who the town, for a number of reasons, had never gotten itself the courage to honor. And now several things have been happening. One is that there's a proposed statue or monument to him on the library lawn.
Proposed.
And a proposal to rename the elementary school after him. So this is a real turnaround from years ago when naming the elementary school after him was turned away. The tide has changed.
and the tide is going in the right direction. It's just a really nice thing to see, which I think that stigma might finally be breaking up.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, this is, just in terms of trends, I mean, the local election in Great Barrington is nonpartisan. You're not voting by party. The candidates are identified by party affiliation, and so I noticed yesterday I noticed who was affiliated with what, and so in Great Barrington none of the Republicans won. There was one Republican who was a known conservative running for the library.
Library. Oh,
there were three. You had to choose three. Two out of three, and the Republican lost. And the Republican on the select board lost. You had to pick two out of three. And the newcomer won in Sheffield. So we have, you know, I mean, things are changing. And I imagine that the people who have been here forever are feeling kind of displaced, that, you know, these were old conservative towns. And now, you know, the either times are changing or there's an influx of newcomers who are taking over.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised if you'll find somebody from this conservative core to propose that we build a wall. You know, maybe on Route 23 there and on Route 7 to prevent people from coming from Connecticut.
Well, it was supposed after 9/11, somebody proposed that people be blocked.
Yeah, New Yorkers could not come here from
New York.
Believe it or not, there was a proposal by Ed McCormick. The he was head of the emergency
management. I'm sorry.
Management.
I'm sorry. That's Colbert. That's Colbert show worthy.
What?
That's Colbert show worthy.
You hate to bring that up, but you know.
But meanwhile, along the same line,
we're as crazy as everybody else here. That's what.
Along the same lines, we also have a story about a woman named Gwendolyn Van Zandt, who is a African American woman and founder of an organization called Multicultural Bridge, and she was honored as the Berkshire Business and Professional Woman of Achievement. Now, was it that honored her? Forget the name of the organization. That's terrible. But anyway, you know, she has been quite a prominent woman. She's not. I mean, she's not. She's a young woman. I mean, relatively young. She's probably in her 40s, maybe.
Yep.
Yeah. Who's been very active in trying to bridge the gap between races and cultures. So, interestingly enough, her husband is white.
Yeah,
and so they have a multicultural bridge right in their own marriage. So you know, there is. I mean, I am hoping that African Americans here are feeling, you know, feeling that there's a little bit of progress being made on their behalf, because the speakers. It was quite moving. The speakers who spoke for and against the recommendation to name the school after W.E.B. Du Bois. And there was one African-American man who got up and spoke about how difficult it's been for him here.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. He was quite moving.
Quite moving. About, you know, and he is looking forward to a little bit of recognition, because there's a long time, long-standing black population in Great Barrington. This was a stop on the Underground Railroad.
We have in the past talked about the Clinton Church,
right.
The AME Zion Church, which is nestled right in the heart of the downtown of Great Barrington, which was an African-American church.
Right.
And there are a number of people that have gotten together to restore that building, which needs a new roof and so on and so forth, and restore it to a kind of center, if not a church, at least a cultural center. So that things really are changing.
Yeah.
It's little by little, and it's good to see.
All
right.
Now, something else before our time runs out that we really want to draw your attention to is we are running every Friday a series of videos called Talking with Teens About Substance Use. Not substance abuse, but substance use.
Use, yeah.
And they really are worth looking at. They're being put out by a group here in Great Barrington called the Railroad Street Youth Project. And they are videotapes of little scenarios of conversations between a teen and an adult. And they are tips. I mean, not only are they full of information, but they're also tips on how to talk to a teen about, you know, how to show respect, how to approach the subject, what a parent should know, and what.
But it's really also for teens.
Yeah, it is. It is for teens too.
To realize how, and but also how to talk to, and that they should talk with their parents and adults. So it's a really interesting little series, and each as Marcy said, each one has a little scene, you might say, a little dramatization of a conversation between
right.
a teen and an adult, or between two teens. So it's really educational, and it's part of the community health program effort to educate people about substance abuse. And how to avoid it. So,
all right.
It's really, we recommend it.
And so, how would they find?
They go on the edge, and they can search for talking with teens.
So, right. just do a, go to the BerkshireEdge.com and then search talking with teens.
Yeah. Yep. There's a search bar up on
search
it.
Bar.
And actually, if you just want to go, just put that into a Google. By the way, it will come up as well. Berkshire Edge and talking with teens.
They are very interesting. They're very well done. They're very short, but they have a lot of information.
And by the way, I'll put in a pitch here for the Railroad Street Youth Project, which is just a terrific little organization that is for teens. They have next to the ball fields and skateboard park down on Bridge Street in the center of town. They have a little headquarters, and they meet there regularly, and it's a real resource and refuge for kids, and it's run by some really talented adults, and it's been around for I think like 20 years, and it's really a resource for teens.
All right.
So, yeah. By the way, just to, the organization that honored Gwen Van Zandt was the Berkshire Business and Professional Women.
Okay.
And they called her the 2019 Woman of Achievement. So.
All right. Well, to go to the next story, we have about 6 minutes left, but that's plenty of time to talk about Pete Buttigieg, the candidate who has come out of nowhere to become a central figure.
Every so often we have a yes. How do you pronounce his name? That's the first thing.
Buttigieg.
Yeah. Think of boot, ah, and JPEG. Buttigieg.
Buttigieg.
But we have writers, you know, we run stories that are not only about local issues, but we have writers who write reflect on national issues, and this is one. He's the mayor of what?
South Bend.
South Bend, Indiana, and is declared for president, his candidacy for president, and he has a book. And one of our writers reviews his book and finds him to be an intriguing candidate. Of course, at this point, almost anybody would be an intriguing candidate.
Well, there's 22 possibilities of intriguing candidate.
What? I mean, what I mean is that we need somebody to replace the disaster we have. Anyways, it's a really interesting review, and it's we can recommend it.
All right.
You know, speaking of the disaster we have, we also, I mean, it's not on our list, but, you know, we have a financial guy who writes us a weekly or a regular column. I don't know, is it weekly?
Yes, weekly.
Weekly column. Alan Harris, sorry. And he has a very interesting article in today's Edge about the trade war with China, putting it in perspective, but also making it very clear that if this trade war seems to be threatening the economy, his feeling is that you can bet that Trump is going to abandon the trade war because he is not going to allow this to interfere with his election campaign.
Right, we'll have to see what happens.
And also the fact that the trade war and the is exacerbated by Trump's policy confusion. That he says one thing to the Chinese one day, then they show up in Washington to discuss what he had said a few days before, and he says something completely different. And so, they're very confused.
Is everyone else. Maybe he's got ADD.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is a negotiating technique, but. It certainly is confusing the Chinese and not likely to be doing us very much good.
All right. I want to wrap. We only have about 2 minutes left, so we want to talk about the students who walked out of classes protesting inaction on climate change.
Yes, right.
Well, this was, our students here are quite active and politically aware, and so we have a story about them just marching out of class and taking part in a national protest against climate change. After all, it's going to be, they're the ones that are going to suffer from this.
No, it's true. I heard somebody speaking the other day who said, look, by the time us middle-aged people, by the time this hits, we middle-aged people will be, past, if we're still here, past the point where, where it's going to make a huge difference to our lives. But young kids, they're going to be hit with a serious climate change right in the middle of their, the prime of their lives. So,
the consequences of it.
The consequences of climate change. So, it's really incumbent on them to start to protest.
Well, I've seen elementary school kids. I have some pictures of kids standing along the road outside Butcher Country Day School, for example, holding signs about protesting climate change and calling on the government to do something, at least be serious about overcoming this. And it's so hopefully that attitude and will prevail when they will be with them, when they're adults.
Yeah.
So we may be seeing a sort of a change from the bottom up, you might say, in the attitude of people in this country. So that'll be interesting to see.
All right. All those stories and more every day, 24 hours a day, theberkshireedge.com.
So 26 hours a day, actually.
That's right. Maybe put it up to 28 because we all know what you mean.
28 hours.
theberkshireedge.com. That is theberkshireedge.com. We'll speak to you guys next week.
You bet.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
thanks again.
Right. David and Marcy from the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. And this is the Berkshire Edge on air, of course.